they have not dug into it. They haven't studied it. They don't know what's all in there. The book of Hosea and book of Song of Solomon are two books that many people get a little nervous about looking at. But in both of those books, there's a lot for us. Some say that there isn't really anything relevant in the book of Hosea. There's a lot of things that are relevant to us and to our lives. Today, we're going to just do an introduction. Just an introduction. We're going to cover some of the topics. We're going to give you some of the common themes. We're going to talk about some of the thoughts throughout the book on a whole. And then next week, we'll start in chapter 1 and going through the book Hosea and kind of teach through it, preach through it. And hopefully by the end, you'll have an understanding of this book and some practical thoughts and things. In the book Hosea, it deals with marriage issues. Did you know that? It deals with marriage issues. Do you know in the book Hosea, we're going to look at some key principles that will strengthen your relationships, that will help you if you heed those, if you look at those, as you take part of that, the marriage issues. We're going to look at rejection. Everyone has felt rejected at times. And this is relevant. How many have never felt rejected by anybody or anything? I think we've all had rejection of some sort in our lives. Maybe it was when we were kids. Maybe it's older. Maybe it's a common occurrence for some of us. But you face rejection. And we're going to see some principles in regards to rejection, how to handle the rejection, what to do, how to get through it and glorify. There's some wonderful thoughts there. We're going to look at the subject of love as we look through the book of Hosea. Now, love is a common theme throughout Scripture. Love is something that is constantly talked about throughout Scripture. And we're going to look at this idea of love here. We're going to look at grace and forgiveness. Grace and forgiveness. The many books of the Bible talk about grace and forgiveness. But in the book of Hosea, it's probably one of the best examples, besides Christ himself, of grace and forgiveness. Besides Christ himself, in the book of Hosea, we're going to be looking at one of the greatest examples of grace and forgiveness. Now, many of us need to look at grace and forgiveness. We're glad grace and forgiveness is given to us, but how many of us like to bestow grace and forgiveness to others? How many of us like to hold on to things? You don't have to admit it. We're all guilty of that, aren't we? We like to hold on to things, especially, never mind, I was going to say, but I'll be nice. Right, Tina? She knows where I was going with that, but we'll be nice with that. We also see the subject of restoration. Restoration, being restored. The whole purpose as we look through this book, we see all these things, is to see restoration come about. When repentance happens, restoration takes place. Consequences. This book deals with consequences and how relevant that is. And many times in our lives, we don't think there's consequences to what we're going to do, but there is. And then we also see in this book God's purpose for trials. God's purpose for trials. There's several themes throughout. First theme is the carnality of a nation, trying to serve two masters. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, please. Matthew chapter 6. And Rex, if you could read verse 24 first. Matthew 6, 24. We'll come back to Hosea in a minute. We'll look at a few verses, kind of give us an overview of this. And again, next week we'll start chapter 1. Can't serve two masters, can you? Now, we see a common theme throughout this book, and is that carnality that is given here of the nation of Israel. Anyone, we're going to look at, give you a little bit on your sheet tonight, when the timing and all that's taking place. But during this time, they were between serving God and serving the idols of the day. And they were going back and forth. This is a theme through this book. how common that is to us in our lives of trying to serve two masters. That's why the New Testament talks about it as well as the Old Testament. It's going back and serving two masters. Another common theme is of sin. Consequences of sinful living. Yeah, you can get away with it. Your wife's not here. I'm going to be good. Consequences of sinful living. Hosea warned Judah about falling the northern kingdom. About the southern kingdom falling the northern kingdom. There's the warning given there. It's the consequences of sinful living. How many people in our world today think you can live any way you want to live and there's no consequences to your sinful behavior? How many believers believe they can, because they're saved and once saved, always saved, they can do whatever they want to do? Well, that's not what Scripture teaches. And there's consequences of sinful living. We also see another theme of compassion. Hosea tries to restore his wife, and we're going to see what happens and all that takes place. He wants to, and then we also see the new start. God forgives, encourages, and restores, but compassion is given, and compassion is shown through Scripture. How many are glad for compassion? Glad that people have shown you compassion. How many of us are really good at showing compassion to others? You don't have to raise your hand, but think about it. We want it to ourselves, but do we have a hard time showing it to other people? That compassion. That's a common theme in the book of Hosea. Compassion. Now we're going to look at the condition. So it gives you a little background of the themes and that which is relevant. Now let's look at the condition. Go to Hosea chapter 4 in verse 1. Brother Dick, could you read that first? You don't have to stand. Brother Dick is struggling a little bit tonight. We need to pray for him and his back. He did some stuff to his back, so please stay seated and read that for us, please. So it was a time of what? Falsehood and ignorance about God. Falsehood and ignorance about God. Backsliders. This is the time. This is the period Hosea's coming in. This is what's taking place. This is where the backdrop is. It's a time of, you're going to see prosperity in a few minutes, but it's also a mixed time because, yes, there's prosperity, but, yes, there is some struggles happening, a perversion and other things there, but they were a perverse nation, and they had the prosperity, but they weren't living godly lives. And it was a time of falsehood and ignorance about God. Isn't that similar to today? A falsehood and ignorance about God. Now, many are ignorant. And ignorant is no excuse, right? But how many ignorant people are there today? How many ignorant people are there within our churches today, even about God? And they do not know God. They don't understand. Oh, they might be saved, but they have not studied. We as believers need to know what God's Word teaches. We need to study the Word of God and know the Word of God. But this condition here was a falsehood and ignorance about God. Look at verse number 2. Dick, do you still have that open? Could you read verse number 2, please? Hosea 4, 2. Okay. So what's happening? Well, this is a great time. How many would love to live during this period of time? Well, there's similarities. We're going to talk about that. But what does it say? What period of time is it? It's a time of falsehood and ignorance, but it's a time of adultery, violence, and robbery. Well, what is it a time of? Man doing what is right in their own eyes. This is the period of time. Is that not very similar to today, that man is doing that which is right in his own eyes, instead of falling after God? And I'm not just saying in the world. I'm saying in our churches today. See, there's a problem today because many times we say, well, this is what the world's like. Well, yes, it is. But many times as a believer and believers today are not far from the same thing. Look at Hosea chapter 10 and verse number 4. They have spoken words, swearing falsely and making a covenant. Thus judgment springeth up as hemlock in the furrows of the field. It was a time of oppression and defrauding. I mean, it was a time of perversion of justice. It was a time of perversion of justice. What does it say? They spoke words, swearing falsely and making a covenant. Thus judgment springeth up as a hemlock in the furrows of the field. Perversion of justice. We once again see this today, do we not? What? Okay, in our government? I couldn't hear. How do we see perversion of judgment? How is that done? Perversion of judgment. Turn the TV on, okay? Anyone else? They make a false covenant. What does that mean? A false covenant. False agreement. What is that saying? What do we do today? Have we ever made a false agreement? Have we ever said, Lord, I'm going to do this, and we had no intentions ever to do what we said we're going to do? Lord, I'm going to... And we don't. That's a false agreement. Was her hand back? Go to Hosea chapter 12 and verse 7. And my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. 12:7. I read 11:7. 12:7. He is a merchant. The balances of deceit are in his hand. He loveth to oppress. He is a merchant. The balances of deceit are in his hand. He loveth to oppress. It was a time of oppression and defrauding. What does oppression mean? To keep down. Anyone else? Anyone else have another thought of defrauding? That's oppression to keep down. What does it mean to defraud? Okay. No one else to get ahead? Okay, to withhold that which is due. All right, take advantage of others using devious ways. Yeah, defrauding, taking that, you're supposed to be balanced in the money and the things and not really being honest or integrity in those. This is that time. Go to Hosea. Chapter 4. And Rex, could you read verse 10 through 11, please? Hosea 4, 10 through 11. Okay, so what is that talking about? They had a time of prosperity, but prosperity really didn't help them, did it? Now we're going to get in it when we look. But it tells you it's a time of perversion, but it's a time of prosperity. It's a time of people not doing right, but they have things. Now, how many times in our world have we seen that? Wickedness, but we see prosperity. We even, in the nation today, there's much wickedness happening, but on a whole, the nation is what? Prospering. How many times have you ever seen someone doing wrong and you thought, well, how can they prosper? They're doing wrong, they're not doing right. How? What's that? In Psalms, several portions of scripture in the book of Psalms deals with that and says you think they're prospering, but they're not really prospering. Because even if they seem to prosper in this world, guess what? One day, they're going to stand before God. One day, they're not prospering. Yes, it seems in this realm, but destruction is going to come to them. Yep. No. Nope, it's not. This is against, oh, is there another hand? Yeah, but it's never enough. And we're going to break these down as we go through these chapters, but there's so much there. It's against this backdrop that Hosea is preaching or warning or prophesying to them. And this is their last chance before they're taken captive by the Syrians in 722 BC. This is their last opportunity, if you will. They're given this time before they're taken captive in 722. And many times they've been warned. And they've seen things happen. Would you not think they would listen? But how often do we listen? And they were taken captive before they were taken captive. Israel wasn't worried about anything at this point except doing what they wanted to do. Isn't that like most of us in this world? We're not worried about anything because we think we have it all figured out, everything taken care of. We're going to go ahead and continue our way, doing things the way we want to do it. But they were given the warning. I want to just talk about that for a moment in our lives. We're given the warning in the Word of God, how we are to live, what we're supposed to do. But how many believers truly heed the warning given to us? How many of us listen to the scriptures? And you say, well, of course we do. Well, do we? I mean, you look at our whole society on a whole in our Christian realm, if you will. And we see how people are acting. We see what people are doing. And we hear all the time, well, it's a different age. It's a different. Yes, it is. And we understand that. Yes, technology is different. Yes, things are different. But the Bible hasn't changed. Faithfulness is still faithfulness. Holiness is still holiness. And we can go through all those subjects, and they're still the same. It's still the same. It hasn't changed. It's not going to change. Yes, our culture has changed. Yes, technology's changed. But God has not changed, and his word hasn't changed. Well, we're just more busy today. We have this going on, and we have that going on. Wait, God's word hasn't changed. Who is Hosea? Anyone knows what his name means? Now, it's interesting. You can look at a cheat, but anyone know what his name means? His name is the same, means the same thing that the name Jesus and Joshua mean. Deliverer or salvation. Deliverance or salvation. That's what his name means. And isn't that fitting? Now, those that have studied this out before with names in the Bible, and we've referred to this before, names in the Bible have significance. This day and age, most people just get a book and find a cute name and name their kid. Some still try to match the meaning to the name to their child. And that day, it was very interesting how close what their name meant and what the child meant. Now, it's interesting when you name your child and you look at those names and you pray and you name your kid, how true it is sometimes. I look at some of the names our kids names mean, and I mean with Elijah, my Elijah fits what Elijah is. The more Sunday night we started looking at Elijah, and the more I study that out, the more I go, oh my soul, what did I do by naming him that name? I doomed him. There's a lot of good, but there's some, whew, a little on the fiery side. In some ways, Hosea is a picture or type of Christ. Now, does a type have to be perfect? No, a type does not have to be perfect. Any type in Scripture doesn't have to be perfect. But we're going to see a picture or a type of Christ throughout the book of Hosea. And many times, Scripture uses these types to help get our mindsets and look at those things there. He was the last prophet to preach to Israel before the fall. He was tough and tender. Tough and tender. Now, what does that mean? Tina? A big bark, but nothing but a soft teddy bear? Is that what you're trying to say? Now, I usually say that about Lewis. Lewis is gruff and everyone, and then you get to know him, and that he's nothing but a crybaby. Once you get to know him. Am I right? Just soft. And especially to Tony. All Tony has to do is look at him. And I've seen him melt. And I've seen that in someone named Steve Burke with his granddaughter. And the things. And I can't wait to see this great grandbaby. She's going to have. Oh, I have. By hearing about things that you've said you never do, and you folded and did. Because she says, Grandpa. Am I right? So tough and tender. That means dealing with it, but dealing it the truth in what? Love. That's what it's talking about. Dealing with truth, but in love. And we're going to see how he did that throughout this book here. His ministry began with Uzziah, while Uzziah was king of Judah, and Jeroboam II was king of Israel. When those that were here for Old Testament survey, we talked about Uzziah and Jeroboam, and we talked about that period of time. And so this is the period of time that's all given there. He was around the last six reigns of the king of Israel. He was around some 30 plus years of ministry. During this time, some say he could be up to 50 years of ministry. Depends when they actually say that he started in those things, but at least 30 plus years of ministry that he was there. Isaiah and Micah preached to the southern kingdom during the latter part of Hosea's life. Jonah and Amos preached during the beginning of his ministry in the northern kingdom. And Hosea would see the importance of the family and the message that a family can have in reaching others for the Lord. So this gives us a little introduction. There's a lot there. We're going to break this up as we go through some of these areas. Anybody have any questions or any thoughts from our little introduction? Again, we didn't get in detail on stuff because we will as we go through the book of Hosea. But this gives you an introduction, gives you the backdrop, gives you the period of time, gives you what's taking place right before the captivity. This is important to keep in mind. And I will refer to this as we go through the book of Hosea. This is right, the last opportunity right before the fall. This is something to keep in mind as we go through this. And keep in mind who's on the throne. Anyone remember, maybe get your sheets out. Look at Uzziah as we looked at him. Look at what type of king he was. Look at Jeroboam in the northern kingdom. We talked about him as well. What type of king was he? This is all that's happening there. Now, what's interesting is you think about Jonah and Amos and all those other ones are there during this time, and they're all preaching the same message, yet people don't heed. And we'll talk more about that as we get through. There's a lot here. I'm excited, if you can't tell, with the book of Hosea, because I think it's one, again, that we gloss over a lot of times, but there's so much that I think could be a great benefit to your life. Anybody have anything to add or any other thoughts? If not, go to take out your prayer bulletins. Anybody need a prayer bulletin? Get one. All right, do pray for Rory. I was going to mention him tonight. Rory is really struggling. He hasn't been here the past two Sundays. Wednesdays he hasn't been for a while, just not getting out. But I called him, and I've been talking to Randy, I called him this week, and he didn't remember he was not here the past two Sundays. And so do pray for him. He's struggling a lot. And so do lift him up in prayer. I talked to Randy a little bit, but not sure where that's going there. So do lift Roy prayers. You get a chance, just stop by. That's probably the best. You call, they don't usually answer the phone. So if you get a chance, and I would say send a card, but I'm not sure on that either. So just if you get a chance, maybe just stop by and check on him, and do continue to pray for him. Pray for Rich as well. As I mentioned about the pacemaker being put in today. Anyone else? Other prayer requests? Pray for Steve and Kelly and their granddaughter. Today is their actual due date, but no baby yet. So just pray. And then I guess she goes in next week, you said, if things don't happen. And so do lift them up in prayer. I saw another hand.
My brother-in-law got a job. So then he was trying to learn how to get the book out for drugs and background and all that stuff. So continue to support drugs and learn how to do it.
They should.